Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. During this Lenten season, we are meeting witnesses to Christ's passion in John's Gospel. Today, just at the very, very end of our Gospel reading, we heard about Barabbas. The trial of Jesus is commencing. He's already been tried by the Jews, already been found to need condemnation. But the Jews cannot put anyone to death because the Roman government is still in control. And so they have to go to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, in order that he also might give Jesus the death sentence. And so there he is, Jesus, Pontius Pilate, and Barabbas. One of these men is guilty, and one of these men is innocent. One will live, and the other will die. And of course, Pontius Pilate, he's just judging over all of this. John calls Barabbas a robber. But if we look into the other Gospels, we actually get a little bit more information about him. Matthew 27:16 calls Barabbas notorious. And so he's not only a robber, but he is a well-known robber. Mark's Gospel tells us that Barabbas was a rebel, he was a murderer, and an insurrectionist. So what can we say about Barabbas? In short, I mean, if we really want to give it, you know, a one word about Barabbas, is that he's a criminal. He's a criminal. He's guilty of serious crimes, and honestly, you probably don't want to find Barabbas in a dark alley in the middle of the night. The life of Barabbas and Jesus are before Pilate. One of them is innocent, and one of them is guilty. Pilate knows which is which. He knows the truth. He makes this claim quite clearly to the crowd. When the crowd comes and Pilate addresses them, and he says, "I find no guilt in Jesus." Pilate knows that Jesus does not deserve a death sentence. He doesn't deserve the cross. He shouldn't be crucified. And he's right. Jesus is innocent. In fact, Jesus is innocent according to Roman law, but what Pilate doesn't know is that Jesus is innocent according to every law. Jesus had never done anything wrong in his entire life. He is totally innocent, completely innocent, without fault ever. He has never done anything selfish in his entire life. There's no hidden fault, no guilt, no shame. His thoughts have been pure, his words have been pure, his actions have been pure. Barabbas is guilty. Remember, rebellious, murderer, insurrectionist, right? Notorious robber. He was already condemned to die. The Romans already determined that Barabbas was going to have his own cross. But they were just waiting to carry out the execution for whatever reason. Maybe, in fact, it was going to be that very same evening that Barabbas would have occupied the cross that Jesus soon will. And so the choice comes easy. At least in Pilate's mind, it is an easy decision to make. Barabbas is a robber. He is well known as an evil person. Jesus has done nothing wrong. And so Pilate schemes a scheme. I have an idea. I will present this to these Jews, and clearly they will know how evil and sinful Barabbas is, and they will let Jesus go. Of course, you know, I won't just let him go off scot-free, right? Pilate, he goes, I'll condemn him as a criminal still. We'll still say that he is guilty of crimes. He will be punished. He will be exposed to public shame. But certainly after I whip him to an inch of his life and they see how utterly destroyed his life is from this punishment, they will let him go. Spare Jesus' life. So Pilate offers the people this choice. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? They cried out again. Not this man, but Barabbas. Pilate knows the truth. He wants to uphold the truth. He devises this great plan, but the plan, it doesn't work. The crowd of Jesus' opponents aren't looking for justice. They're looking for death. Death for the innocent, and life for the guilty. Of course, there is a certain amount of outrage in our hearts over this, isn't there? I mean, we all remember in the movies, the good guys are supposed to win, right? The bad guys are always supposed to get what's coming to them before the final credits start to scroll. And here, justice is not being served. It doesn't sit well with us. But the outrage is kind of the point. The outrage is what shows us what sweet gospel this truly is. Because we all know that we ourselves are not innocent. We are not spotless. We are not sinless as Jesus is. We look at him with all of his innocence and his perfection, and then we look at ourselves and we see guilt and shame. If we were to find ourselves in this story, we must admit that we are standing in the place of Barabbas. Now, maybe our sin doesn't have the same magnitude, right? I hope none of you are notorious robbers. In fact, if you were notorious, I would know about it. I hope none of you guys are rebels or murderers or insurrectionists. But even though our earthly measurements of our sin don't equal that of Barabbas, it doesn't mean that we are free from sin. In God's eyes, our sin is very real, and it deserves judgment, and it deserves condemnation. If only one of us gets to be released, should it be you or should it be Jesus? We know it should be Jesus. But it isn't. Jesus takes your place as the one to be condemned. Us poor sinners who are dead in our trespasses, blinded by the gods of this world, we're rebels and we are insurrectionists against God's word. That's what sin is. It's when we rebel against a loving God. We're notorious for it. If you know yourself well enough, you know that you do this all of the time. And in our sin, if all we have is our sin, it means that our condemnation is already spoken for us. Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve for the life that you have lived. You're Barabbas, just waiting for the execution to take place. But then Jesus comes up alongside you. It's outrageous. But for whatever reason, Jesus allows you to go free. And he takes your condemnation. Jesus takes your place. He takes the cross that you deserve, the pain that you deserve, the condemnation from God that you deserve, and the death that you deserve. Jesus is forsaken on the cross instead of you being forsaken. Jesus endures the fire of God's wrath rather than you enduring that fire. All that you deserve, all that you know should be coming to you, none of it is your burden any longer. Because Jesus takes that burden from you. Jesus takes your sin. He sheds his blood in your place. He's condemned as a rebellious, murdering insurrectionist. And you're free. You are forgiven. And it's all in good order because this is exactly what the scriptures say that Jesus came to do. You don't have to feel outraged. You don't have to feel like there's been a disservice done here, because this is all according to the plan. Psalm 146 says, "The Lord sets the prisoners free." We hear, "The law of the Spirit of life has set you free." Galatians 5, "For freedom Christ has set you free." Revelation 1 says, "Jesus has freed us from our sins by his blood." There are a million ways in this world to be a prisoner, my friends. But there is only one way to be free. And that's Jesus. His life for your life. His death for your death. His resurrection to life again for your resurrection to life again. But there's one more aspect about this that is just so wonderful. And this is my favorite part of this entire thing. There's this great reversal going on here. And we all know that Jesus is the Son of God. He rightfully belongs with his Father in heaven. But the name Barabbas literally means son of the Father. And so what happens when God sends his son to take Barabbas's place is that the son of the Father gets released. This is who you are. You can now call yourselves children of God. You get to be Barabbas by name because Jesus has released you. And it means that you get to be heirs of all of God's goodness, all of his mercy, all of his blessing. It all comes to you because you are Barabbas. Not the prisoner Barabbas, but the Barabbas who is set free from all of your sins. You're the guilty that has been declared innocent. The former prisoner to sin, the former rebel, the former murderer, the former insurrectionist. And while the sins of the past might not be erased from your own memory, they no longer condemn you. For the innocent Jesus is declared guilty in your place. He suffers the punishment for you in his bloodshed and in his life given on the cross. And so, my friends, this day, lament that you are Barabbas, but rejoice that you are Barabbas, set free in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.